So it's different. The apartment is also different. Female athlete has the highest correlation and much higher correlation from their start position. So that was something that was very interesting for us. So that was the result specifically for peak force number, isometric peak force.
Could you explain why you think you found the difference?
It's interesting because it's only my opinion. So it's not something that we really measure it. But I think most of the female athletes are much more technique driven. So a lot of female athletes, it's an anecdotal observation for my, most of the female athletes much more really driven by their desire to perfect their technique. So they will really try to maintain the right position for the entire pool.
Hi, Davor. It's my pleasure to have you here at Evidence Strong Show. If you could briefly introduce yourself, that would be awesome.
Hi, Alex. First, I'm very excited and very honored for this conversation. And I just want to say thank you for creating this platform. The Evidence Strong is really great. I'm using it as a weight coach, as a scientist. I am currently a PhD student to side physiology sports science program in Ariel University in Israel. And my PhD is divided into working on sport performance, working with athletes, trying to make them better, stronger, and faster, and also understanding physiology behind training and anabolic steroids. I'm also a weightlifting coach, strength coach, and I'm the strength and condition consultant for the Israel Navy. That's it.
Awesome. Sounds super impressive. I invited you because you have out of the paper titled Comparison of Force Measures Between Start Position, Transition Phase, and Mid-Type Pull with Weightlifting Performance During Israeli National Competition. So we'll be talking measuring performance in weightlifting or trying to guess it. And you run this amazing study. So let's hear more about it and let's start with the why. So what was the aim of the study and why it was needed?
So the aim of it started from understanding that there is kind of a gap in scientific literature. Because most of the studies examining this type of topic, which is correlation between isometric force and weight performance, mostly focus on the isometric mid-type pull, which represents power position and the start of the second pull. But if we look at the weightlifting movement, especially the pull, it's divided into three phases. We have the first pull, the transition phase, and the second pull. So right now we can understand that there is a gap. So now we have very strong understanding on the correlation from the mid-type pull with weightlifting performance. And it's very good correlation. It's about between 0.75, 0.85, which is very strong, but it's not perfect. And we don't see the whole picture regarding the pulling movement. There is one study by Joffe and colleagues, and they were the first one measuring the start position, the isometric peak force from start position, and they got a much stronger correlation. Their correlation was 0.95 compared to what they found the isometric mid-type pull, which was 0.85. So right now there is a big differences between one position to another. Our study also want to take a look on the transition phase. Say that for our study, none of the scientific literature really addressed it. And the aim was to get a much more and holistic view on the pull movement to make us better understand weightlifting performance. And also, maybe we can get much more better monitoring tool to predict performance.
Okay, so this is how you went to the study and now how you went about answering the question, is it possible?
So all of the measure was conducted on force plate. So the athletes needed to stand on force plate. Then we took a barbell that is unmobile, which means if the athletes want to move, they cannot. That's how we measure isometric force. So the start position, the barbell was located start position, which we can measure it because the diameter of the weight, the weightlifting weights is same. Measuring the transition position, the barbell was located just below the knee at the patella, and the isometric mid-thigh pull was located at the power position, which is the point of the barbell contact with the body. Those were the three positions that we analyzed. We measure, all of our measurement was conducted 1 week before and 1 week after the Israel Nationals. And all of the participants had to be qualified for that competition, which means they had to have a certain Sinclair number to compete. And we had 30 participants, 18 from them were male and 12 were female.
Awesome. Okay, so we know what you have done, who you invited. So you tested a week before and a week after. So you did these measurements on isometric pulls in three positions. And then to put it against the weightlifting performance, did you use totals or some players?
No, we use total. We want to see exactly their weightlifting performance, and their performance was measured at the Israel National, because we want to really grasp their real and highest performance, which is you hope to be in the competition. And Israel Nationals, it's the highest competition in Israel, so that's where most of that will prepare their best. So yeah, we measure their snatch, clean and jerk, and total, and that's, and we compare it, of course, in the correlation to three position that we mentioned before.
All right, to the result. What have you found?
Okay, so let's begin. Our hypothesis was that we will find a much greater correlation from between the start position and the transition position when we compare it to the isometric mid-thigh pull. And that's really what we found. We found that the correlation between the isometric start position and the isometric transition phase was significantly higher than the one from the mid-thigh pull. It was, I'll just look at the number. So it was 0.95 and 0.95 for the isometric start position and the transition position. And from the isometric mid-thigh pull, it was 0.86. That was when we analyzed all of the participants. So right now you can see there is large differences. So that was kind of reassuring our hypothesis. After that, we want to analyze and see what's the differences of the participants by gender. We want to look at the male and female separately. And what we saw that in the male participants, the result was very similar. The number was 0.91 and 0.91 again for the start position and position, and it was 0.81 for the isometric mid-thigh pull. So it was very similar. The numbers are similar, and the pattern is similar, like we saw combined participants. When we looked at the female athlete, what's kind of different? For the female group, the correlation between the start position one was 0.94. Correlation from between the transition phase was 0.79, and the isometric mid-thigh pull was 0.69. So it's different. The pattern is also different. Female athlete has the highest correlation and much higher correlation from their start position. So that was something that was very interesting for us, but we didn't participate. So that was the result specifically for peak force number, isometric peak force.
Could you explain why you think you found the difference?
That's interesting.
Peak force, did you say?
Yeah. So it's interesting because it's only my opinion. So it's not something that we really measure it. But I think most of the female athletes are much more technique driven. So a lot of female athletes, it's an anecdotal observation for my, most of the female athletes much more driven by their desire to perfect their technique. So they will really try to maintain the right position for the entire pool. And compared to the male, that's somewhere much more aggressive, and they tend to focus more on the external result, which is the weight, rather than the kick. So sometimes female athletes will deliberately slow down their pull compared to the male athletes that will pull much more aggressively. I also think that we know that female athletes are weaker in terms of pure strength than the male. So maybe their start position is much more a limiting factor to their overall performance. So we didn't want to just measure peak force. We also, like as weightlifting coaches and scientists, we understand that speed is very important factor in weightlifting performance, the ability to produce force in higher rates. We also analyzed the rate of force development at 250 milliseconds. And what we found, it was also very interesting for us. When we measure all of the participants, we found that the only position that we found a significant correlation was the start position, which is kind of different than the overall literature, because we do see previous studies mentioning that the rate of force development will be correlated with performance at the isometric mid-thigh pull. And also, I believe coaches will a lot of times say that the second pull is the position that we need to accelerate the barbell. But we found that rate of force development was correlated only in the start position. Now, when we separate participants, we found something even more interesting, because in the male, there was none significant correlation at any of that position. So we didn't find any significant correlation between rate of force development and weightlifting forms. When we looked at the female athletes, we saw similar results to the total participants. And we found again that the only position that was correlated significantly with weightlifting performance was the isometric start position. And it wasn't a strong correlation, it was moderate. The number was 0.67, which is not perfect correlation, it's not very strong, but it is a significant correlation. And it's interesting, first, because only in the female we found that correlation, we didn't find it in the male group. And I think it's somewhat going against certain belief that maybe the first pull should be deliberately slower than the other phases. And I don't think it's the right approach that we can coach the first pull. And from our study, we can see that producing a lot of force in a higher rate from the start is correlated with a weightlifting performance.
Why do you think the correlation was present at first pull but was not at the power position, even though the previous research had suggested that that should be the case?
Great question. I think that people need to understand that the first pull is much more of a strength-oriented position, because the athletes need to overcome barbell inertia. Barbell is starting zero velocity. The transition position is much more a technical phase, because the athletes need to readjust their knee position to be able to locate them at much more favorable position to produce force vertically. And the power position, if we look at it just like not regarding the other position, just the power position, so yeah, it's much more speed, a speed fix, because the velocity that the barbell will get from the power position, it's the velocity that will determine the barbell height, like counter move and jump. But if we think about it, it's, again, the power position, second pull is a snapshot. When you're performing the isometric mid-side pull, you are in the perfect position. You are in the perfect position. Both of your feet are, the whole foot is on the ground. Your torso is vertically. But we know that if we take a video of a lifter, most of them will not be able to execute that type of power position, because their previous position will determine how well they will execute the power position. So I believe when you're analyzing athletes that maybe are not the elite of the elite, the first pull will be much more of a better indicator of their performance than the isometric and the power position. What was interesting is that I thought maybe the transition plate will give us also a positive correlation. We didn't find it, but there is previous study that also indicate that elite level athlete can generate high level of forces and velocity from the start. So specifically, I don't know why previous study that measured it did found a positive correlation for rate of fall development from the isometric mid-thigh pull. But we have previously studies showing that elite level lifters can produce higher velocities from the start. So producing high velocity from the start is somewhat of a good thing that we wanted. The problem is that a lot of athletes will, when they will try to do it, their position will be great. So they won't be able to maintain the proper position. So it's kind of a balance. You need to pull the barbell fast as you can, but also maintaining the proper position that we know from the technique one.
All right, so now let's move to the practical application of the study. What coaches can take out of the study and how to apply it in their coaching practice?
Yeah, so first, it's very important to address that correlation is not equal causation. We measure isometric peak force. We didn't measure dynamic peak force. This is very important to address. But I believe our result can indicate us some very important indication. The first application is very easy. Coaches that have access to force plate can monitor in a very successful and very high predictability their weightlifter performance. So if you have a force plate, you can locate force plate at start position or the transition position. And with a very accuracy, you can predict your athlete performance instead of just maxing out the snatch and a clean and jerk. And we know maxing out weightlifting derivative, it's very taxing on the body. So that's a very useful way to predict their performance. Another thing that I believe is very important is that we found that athletes that can generate higher level force from the ground, from the start position, are having higher performance. So I believe we can coach our athletes to be strong. We need to coach them to be stronger from the start. That means to maybe program a higher percentage in the pulling movement, not just like the traditional 100 110% from your one ramp. I believe we can push them a little bit forward to work with higher percentages from like the pulling exercise, pulling derivatives. That's one thing that I believe is very important. The second one is that I believe we need to program much more variation, addressing the transition phase at a technique position, which means we need to force our athletes to understand how they readjust their knee, can be with derivatives that force them to move the barbell rapidly below and above the knee. It can be like something like floating snatch or cleans, but a lot of variation, I believe, at the transition phase, very important to the athletes to understand how to properly execute it. And after we finished our study, I changed a little bit my programming style. I put much more variation addressing the transition phase at the technique position, and also I change also higher program pulls. I program higher loads, and I can also I program a lot of variation that will force the athletes to understand the right position at the start position and also at the transition position.
Would you have any comments how to distinguish between programming for female and male athletes? Because the results were slightly different from your study, how would you now apply it to the coaching practice?
Yeah, so first again, like I mentioned before, if you have an access to a force plate, I believe that the only real good way to predict their performance with the force plate is with the start position, because we saw the correlation from the transition position at and the isometric knee taper was much less than the start position. That's the first thing. I also think that we can coach female athletes to pull the barbell with higher velocity from the start. I think we can see that maybe female athletes will pull deliberately slower. So yeah, coaching them to try to generate higher rate of force development from the start and to start at the first pull more rapidly, is a better approach to their overall performance. And I think it's specifically to the female athlete, because like I said before, males tend to be more aggressive.
Okay, I have one more question. So this is the question coming from a young coach who asked me for help in assessment of her athletes. And she wanted to know what is the relationship between the pulls and the grip strength in terms of measure and trying to correlate it to performance. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I believe the grip strength is not a limiting factor to weightlifting performance and specifically to the pull. I think when you are training with the weightlifting derivatives, your grip will be strong enough. I can see someone that have maybe weak grip. That's very individualization like approach to a specific person. And for that person, I will say firstly, maybe limiting their use of straps. So if someone has a weak grip and they're using straps all the time, so I will limiting the use of straps, especially in pulls. So most of the athletes will use straps in the pulling derivatives. So if I have an athlete with weak grip, I will tell them I will limit their use of straps in the pulling derivatives. So he will feel the barbell, the heavy barbell on the pulling derivatives. It maybe, and also it can help with confidence. I use it as a confidence booster, which means if I have an athlete that maybe lack confidence and he is working with the pulls above his one rep, I will want him to work without a strap to feel the specific weight of the barbell to get more confident with that specific weight, if it's answered the question.
Yeah, do you measure at all grip strength with your athlete? No.
I mean, I measure it sometimes for readiness because to see the fluctuation in readiness, but I'm not putting a lot of like emphasis on it. I don't believe it's a strong indicator of performance, specifically weightlifting performance.
Do you use any jumping as a measurement of readiness or for?
Yeah, I will use the counter movement jump without the use of the hands to see to predict readiness. Also, we did a pilot study on the correlation between counter movement and jump, drop jump with the jerk, and we did see a moderate correlation. So I also will use it. I will use goes jump height rather than peak force if I'm measuring kind of movement jump or any other jump derivatives. I rather to use the jump height. I believe the jump height is a better indicator than the peak force, but also it can be a little bit harder to coach because athletes can cheat on their jumps. They can use a greater counter movement. They can kind of using their hand. I mean, it's when you have a standardized approach to the counter movement jump, I think it can be very, very useful tool for both readiness and to predict jump performance, not as much to the snatch and the clean.
Awesome. That's very interesting. Thank you. Okay, favorite color?
Red.
That was quick. Yeah. Okay, if people want to contact you and ask some questions or just get in touch, where should they look for you?
Yeah, so first they can find me on Instagram. It's at Tavor@WWL and also on ResearchGate. So if people want to get access to this specific paper, please send me a message on ResearchGate and I will be more than happy to share this paper with you. I mean, it was kind of my dream to publish a paper and conduct a paper on weightlifting from like my undergraduate degree. So I'm very happy and excited for this paper. So for me to help coaches and if this paper can help coaches to be better coaches and to make better athletes, it's amazing for me. So yeah, just send me a message and I will send it right for you.
Thank you so much, Tavor, for today. We learned a lot and thank you for your research.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you very much.